news, traffic, and weather updates weekday mornings.
And be listening for more stories and interviews to help you make sense of it all.
The Como Morning News with Manda Factor and Greg Hirschold on Como News.
KOMO Seattle.
KOMO FM Oakville.
20 minutes of nonstop news starts now.
Slowing down the steady rate of rent increases. I'm Corwin Hake. New law promises early warning.
That and more local news in just 2 minutes right now. ABC at 4 o'clock.
From ABC News. I'm Daria Albinger. The first burials are getting underway in New Zealand for two victims of Friday's terror attack on two mosques. New Zealand Police Commissioner Mike Bush says they're still also trying to identify all 50 people killed in the attack.
By the end of Wednesday, we should have completed the majority of those identifications. But I have to say that some of those victims will take a little longer.
Authorities spent 4 days constructing a special grave at a city cemetery that's designed for Muslim burials. It isn't clear how many victims will be buried there. Dutch police say they've arrested a second man on suspicion of involvement in the deadly tram shooting in Utrecht. The main suspect also remains in custody. Unsealed search warrants in Michael Cohen's case show how long federal agents were investigating President Trump's former fixer.
The documents show the suspicions federal prosecutors had about Michael Cohen just months into the Trump administration. Cohen is off to prison in May for financial and campaign finance crimes, but the documents show he was investigated for additional illegal conduct, including FARA violations, as he was paid by foreign companies for his access to the new administration. The part of the documents about the campaign finance violation to which Cohen pleaded guilty are redacted. A sign the investigation remains active.
ABC's Aaron Katursky. Residents in and around Houston are wondering what's in the air as a fire rages at a chemical storage facility.
It's been just dissipating into people's yards and over their homes. Some people say they're picking up ashes and what looks like small burned items.
Dana Steele lives about 15 miles from the fire. Local officials say monitors show levels of contaminants are safe right now in the air. The FDA has approved the first medication specifically designed to treat postpartum depression. You're listening to ABC News.
Stay connected. Stay informed. The Como Afternoon News.
Good afternoon. It is 4:02. We have sunshine on another record-setting day for temperatures in the Puget Sound area. We have 75 degrees in downtown Seattle.
I'm Elisa Jaffe with Tom Glasgow. Here are the top stories from the Como 24/7 News Center. 20 days is not enough warning that your rent is about to go up, according to supporters of a bill that calls for 2 months' notice. Como's Corwin Hake explains.
In a booming economy, rents can rise at a bewildering speed, especially considering the current law that says landlords need give only 20 days notice before a rent hike takes effect. State Representative June Robinson says that short window is disruptive, and she wants to see the notice period tripled.
60 days notice will allow households to plan for the increased expense and will give them more time to consider whether or not they have to move.
Perhaps most affected by the short notice are low-income and fixed-income tenants.
They're finding themselves not only getting rent increases as their lease turns over at the end of a year, but mid-lease rent increases as well to the tune of several hundred dollars.
The law would do nothing to stop rent hikes, but sponsors say it would at least slow them down. Corwin Hake, Como News.
The discussion of tenant protections continues at the state capitol with a hearing on a plan that would extend pay or vacate notices from 3 to 14 days for people who can't make their rent payments. Senator Patty Cooterer says her bill would also make things simpler for landlords.
We heard from the landlords that they were concerned about their notice. They had to hire a lawyer. Sometimes it costs them $800 to $1,000 just to draft a notice.
But testifying before the House Civil Rights and Judiciary Committee, landlord John Gibson says the time frame set out under the bill is not realistic.
For me, we've only done a few evictions, but it takes at least 30 days from what I've been able to determine. My experience cost me about $1,000 or more for the attorney fees.
Other landlords echoed that statement.
Big changes might soon be on the way for legal marijuana sellers. Como's Ryan Harris tells us the businesses say it'll give them a fairer chance to fix problems.
There are a couple of bills now in committee, including one that would change the way liquor and cannabis board officers approach violations that do not affect public safety. Instead of an immediate violation, LCB officers would issue a warning that gives the seller the chance to fix a violation before it's fined or even loses its license. Vicki Christofferson, director of the Washington Cannabis Business Association, tells me the bill would also create a task force to consider changes in enforcement from anonymous complaints.
A lot of complaints come from disgruntled employees or competitors, for that matter. It has resulted in a really inconsistent number of visits from enforcement.
The other bill up for discussion would allow additional information on cannabis product labels to say what kinds of effects they'll have on you medicinally or otherwise, while also allowing them to clearly state that they are not cures for any disease or ailment. Ryan Harris, Como News.
Como News time, 404, AAA traffic every 10 minutes on the fours with much to tell you about. Here's Marina.
And the commute is getting heavier as we speak. Northgate area in the express lanes, northbound I-5 in the express lanes near the Northgate Way exit. The right lane is blocked with a collision. Stop and go traffic from Lake City Way to that scene. The main line through that area is not bad. It will slow you from 520 up to Lake City Way and then off and on towards Northgate. It's quite heavy into Everett, northbound I-5 from the Boeing Freeway past Highway 2 and continues to be slow towards the first exit in Marysville. It's quite heavy northbound 405 through the South Center area up to 167. Southbound I-5 is really struggling now from Highway 18 through the 5 curve. Big problems in Kitsap County. Long-term issue with a very serious collision involving a semi and two cars. Northbound Highway 3 at Chico Way. So we have solid traffic from Loxie-Egan's Boulevard. The right lane is blocked of the main line. And the exit to Chico Way is also blocked. And that will be for quite some time as they try to clean up the fuel there. Southbound Highway 3 slowing down to take a look. So it's stop and go from Newberry Hill Road. Your next Como traffic at 414. Shannon O'Donnell with the forecast.
Gusty Cascadia winds through the foothill communities, pushing our heat into Puget Sound. Temperatures today close to 80 degrees. Easily warm enough for all kinds of records to fall around here. Daily records for the March 19th afternoon. Warmest winter day ever. Earliest it's ever been this warm. All of those records we broke yesterday, we broke them again today. As we head into the overnight, we'll drop into the 30s in the chilly spots in the South Sound. Low 50s around downtown Seattle. Highs cooling back into the low 70s for the first afternoon of spring on Wednesday. Still looks great. In the Como Weather Center, I'm meteorologist Shannon O'Donnell.
79 degrees at SeaTac Airport at 4:06.
Well, investigators will be taking a closer look at the certification process for the Boeing 737 MAX. Como's Bill O'Neill has more.
U.S. Transportation Secretary Elaine Chao has asked for an audit of the FAA's approval of Boeing's troubled jets, saying safety is the top priority for her department. That call comes on the heels of the first in-depth public comments made by Boeing CEO Dennis Muilenburg in the aftermath of the crash of an Ethiopian Airlines 737 MAX.
Safety is at the core of who we are at Boeing, and ensuring safe and reliable travel on our airplanes is an enduring value and our absolute commitment to everyone.
The call for an audit of the certification of the 737 MAX comes after questions were raised over the use of Boeing's own engineers in the FAA's process. Bill O'Neill, Como News.
To address the arising safety concerns, Boeing is offering pilot training for the 737 MAX aircraft. We just heard from the CEO, Dennis Muilenburg, and this announcement is one of two new safety measures following two deadly crashes involving the same aircraft over the past few months. ABC's David Curley continues our coverage.
For the first time since 157 people perished in that second Boeing 737 MAX crash in Ethiopia, the CEO appearing on camera in a statement to the flying public.
Lives depend on the work we do at Boeing, and that demands the utmost excellence and integrity in how we do it.
He says his company is cooperating with the FAA and the NTSB, now gathering in Ethiopia to analyze the black box data, and the Lion Air crash less than 5 months ago, in which the aircraft acted in a similar way.
Together, we'll keep striving to earn and keep the trust people have placed in Boeing.
Boeing, according to one financial analyst, could lose $500 million a month coming in while it stopped delivery of the 737 MAXs. This as questions swirl about how this aircraft was approved to fly. The Seattle Times reporting the FAA, underfunded and low on resources, pressured its engineers to cede more and more control of the safety review to Boeing. Now increased scrutiny, investigations about how the jet's new anti-stall system, called MCAS, connected with the first crash, was certified safe. Boeing did market this model to airlines as cost-effective, requiring minimal training and no time in a simulator because of commonality with the previous version, the 737 Next Gen. Flight instructor Aaron Murphy is in a simulator from that previous model of the 737. In the first crash, we know that right after takeoff, bad data turned on that anti-stall system
the MCAS.
The MCAS perhaps is sending the information in that says we're stalling. We fight it. We get on the trim. We try to recover from that.
The difference in the MAX is that this automatic system would be more aggressive in pushing the plane's nose down, essentially putting it into a dive.
The MCAS is trimming nose down.
Murphy illustrating how that anti-stall system, which pilots didn't know about before the Lion Air crash, was difficult to battle. And if they did correct, the MCAS would re-engage.
The MCAS is trimming nose down. We're fighting it. We're fighting it. And then the MCAS kicks in again.
The question this morning was that anti-stall system involved in both crashes.
That's ABC's David Curley reporting.
Sports now from the Harley Exterior Sports Desk at 4:10. Mariners and Oakland A's going to get the baseball season underway in Tokyo. I'm doing a little math here. I'm not great. Here we go. About 10 hours from now. 2:35 in the morning, Wednesday, our time. I believe that's 6:35 in the evening over in Tokyo. Lefty Marco Gonzalez on the mound for the Mariners to open up the two-game series, and obviously Ichiro will be a major focus of attention as he will be, I think, celebrated by those Japanese fans, Mariners fans, as today's game or tomorrow's game likely to be his last as a major leaguer. From the NFL, former Seahawks defensive end slash outside linebacker Bruce Irvin signing a one-year contract with the Carolina Panthers. First four action of the big dance underway in Dayton, Ohio. About 6 minutes left in the first half. Prairie View with a 10-point lead over Fairleigh Dickinson, the winner of that game. On third, we'll take on Mark Fuse Gonzaga Bulldogs Thursday in Salt Lake City. Coach Fuse's team a number one seed, and he says they have the depth to make a deep run in the dance.
The one thing that has really carried us is our tremendous balance. I mean, we can probably go six or seven deep of guys that can get double figures. And so, you know, those two big kids have really, really had phenomenal years with Rui Hachimura and Brandon Clark.
Well, with more on the big dance, including the Zags and the Dogs, we say hello to Root Sports college basketball analyst, former NBA scout Francis Williams, who joins us on the Como Newsline. So, Francis, let's begin with the Huskies. They were not playing their best basketball at the end of the season into the Pac-12 conference tournament. They got a challenge, certainly, on Friday against Utah State. What's it going to take for the Dogs to not only perform well, but advance at least to a matchup with North Carolina?
Well, I agree with you, Tom, that they're kind of limping into the tournament, definitely not playing their best basketball right now. You know, they were outstanding midway through the Pac-12 conference when they rattled off those 9-10 wins in a row. And I think right now, a lot of times in conference play, the familiarity and just guys really knowing what you're going to do, there's really no more secrets. And, you know, the three-point line is the great equalizer. So the Huskies have not shot the ball particularly well here coming down the stretch. And as we said, you know, the scouting and the familiarity that these teams have with them. And so it's just not been a comfortable situation for them over the last couple of weeks. But I would like to think that, you know, you get out of conference play, you're going to play somebody that you haven't played before, and you just get rejuvenated. It's tournament time. You get a different opponent, and hopefully that will allow them to hit the reset button and maybe get a little bit more motivation and get a little bit more energy back.
Well, certainly the Huskies can have what I think they would define as a successful postseason experience without winning the national championship, and a number of teams fit into that category. One team that does not is Gonzaga. We had a couple of their games this year, you and I, and they make no bones about it. The goal is very simple, and that's to win a national championship. They stumble in the West Coast Conference championship game against St. Mary's. Is that a red flag, or is that simply just a reset button for these guys and their goal?
I don't really see it as being a red flag. I think that you know, St. Mary's had a game plan that they executed to perfection, and it allowed them to beat the Zags. I mean, everything that St. Mary's wanted to do, they did it that night, and Gonzaga on that particular night just did not have a response. They didn't have a counter for it. But what I see in front of Gonzaga more than anything is that, you know, they could very easily end up having to play Syracuse, Florida State, and Michigan. And I just think that with that, they've got a tough task in front of them, that if their region goes chalk, they're going to have a real tough time just to get to the Final Four. And I think that's going to be a bigger obstacle than what happened to them in the conference championship game.
It is always fun to watch how it all plays out. March Madness getting underway today, and good to catch up with Francis Williams, Root Sports college basketball analyst. We will do it again as the tournament progresses. Francis, we appreciate your time.
Thank you very much, Tom. Thanks for having me on.
Como News Time 414, Marina Rockinger with our Como AAA traffic.
There was a problem in Fife, southbound I-5 at 54th. It looks like that's been cleared out of the way, but it did leave stop-and-go traffic from Highway 18 down to the scene. Also, westbound Highway 16 in Tacoma at Union, an overturned vehicle is partially blocking the bottom of the exit. We've had a long-term issue on Highway 3 in Kitsap County at Chico Way. Right lane is blocked northbound, and the exit to Chico Way completely blocked. It was from a collision involving a semi that hit two unoccupied vehicles, luckily, but it's quite a scene, and they're having to clean up the fuel spill there. So stop-and-go traffic from Loxie Egan's Boulevard northbound, and then southbound, the slowdown is fairly short, but everybody is slowing down to take a look at what's happening northbound. We do have quite heavy conditions southbound 405 from 520 through Bellevue to Coal Creek Parkway. Northbound is starting to get tough off and on through Kirkland from 520 on up to the 522 interchange. Southbound I-5 solid from Lake City Way into downtown Seattle. Northbound really struggles from Albert to I-90, and then again from 520 to Lake City Way. This look at traffic is brought to you by Staples. Staples has all the supplies you need to run your business like a boss. Come into a Staples near you this week for great low offers on Sharpie markers and highlighters and select Staples notebooks. Staples, your next Como traffic at 424.
Your Como forecast, another day like today coming your way for Wednesday. Highs in the mid to upper 70s. A lot of sunshine. Mostly sunny on Thursday. Will cool off. High temp, low 60s. Mostly cloudy on Friday. Again, low 60s for a high, and we're looking at a wet weekend ahead. Right now in downtown Seattle, 76 degrees. Currently at SeaTac, 78 degrees. Both record temps. Como News Time, 416.
Stay connected. Stay informed. Seattle's only 24-hour news station, Como News.
With Elisa Jaffe, I'm Tom Glasgow. Jeremy Grader is at the editor's desk. Nice to have you with us as we take a look at some of the day's top stories.
A federal judge is blocking the Trump administration from moving forward with its transgender military ban. Today's ruling in U.S. District Court in D.C. comes days after the Pentagon announced its plan to put the policy into effect on April 12th. And a Pentagon spokeswoman said it is consulting with the Justice Department on the next step.
A federal appeals court has thrown out a $4 million copyright infringement ruling against the Seattle-based online real estate company Zillow. It's almost official. As of midnight tonight, the Disney takeover of 21st Century Fox will be complete, and Deadpool star Ryan Reynolds celebrated on social media with a picture of Deadpool wearing Mickey Mouse ears. I guess that kind of sums it up. So what will the acquisition mean for the shows and movies we watch? For more on that, we say hello to ABC News entertainment correspondent Jason Nathanson. He joins us from Los Angeles. So Jason, what does it mean for folks?
I think it's something that most people won't notice or see anything, at least immediately. What it means, the possibility, and there are a lot of possibilities, it means that we could see some of those X-Men properties, which Fox currently owns, which were not made in conjunction with Marvel Studios, that they could, Marvel now has control of that again. So Marvel could be making those really good kind of movies that we haven't, the X-Men movies have been okay, but they haven't really been great. We could maybe get a little more quality into those. We could see the X-Men now can be a part of the Avengers landscape, just like they brought Spider-Man in, which was part of Sony. They brought Spider-Man into the fold, and he became an Avenger, and everybody loves it and loves what they've been doing with Spider-Man recently. We could see that more for the Avengers. We could see some Simpsons crossovers somehow in the Disney universe, because now The Simpsons is owned by Disney. It's a little confusing because Fox, the television channel, is still Fox, and that's a separate thing owned by the Murdochs, but Disney owns the content now. So Disney owns The Simpsons, and there's deals with FX in terms of the catalog and having it be online, but those might change in a couple of years, and so you might see all that as part of Disney's new streaming service, Disney Plus, which is coming out later this year.
So that's how this all relates to the viewing public. What about actual employees of the two companies? I know there's been some reporting that this could lead to significant layoffs.
Yeah, the biggest number we've seen so far from the Hollywood Reporter, their estimate is 4,000 employees could lose their jobs, which if you look at the grand scheme of things, I think the two combined companies now, they're over 200,000 jobs. So 4,000 is a small percentage of that, but still, you're talking about 4,000 people, 4,000 people's jobs.
We're speaking with ABC's Jason Nathanson. And Jason, in the wake of this merger, anything pending for either of these two companies? Does Disney want to try to get even bigger? Does Fox want to get even smaller? Or maybe add something to its list of companies? Any rumors out there?
No, it seems Fox is going to be happy for now with the Fox Channel and the Fox News. And the Fox Sports. Disney, I mean, Disney's always acquiring things from Pixar several years ago to Marvel, and now this. It seems Disney's going to be acquiring things for a long time because what it wants at this point, it really sees Netflix as a huge rival. And Disney Plus is the streaming service that's going to launch later this year. It needs content to be able to compete with all the content that Netflix has.
Jason, it was so much easier back in the day when there were just five channels to choose from.
Really?
I just dated myself. ABC's Jason Nathanson joining us from Los Angeles. Jason, thanks so much.
All right, take care.
Como News time is 4:20. Time for your Propel Insurance Money Update at the closing bell today. The Dow dropping 27 points to 25,887. The NASDAQ, though, up 9, 77.23 at the close. And the S&P 500 down about a half point. Now today's tax tip.
It's just business. But when it comes to your income taxes, ask yourself a few questions.
Are you incorporated? Are you an employee for someone else, but you work out of a home office?
If you said yes to the first question, CPA Richard Levina says you can take a number of business deductions, and you can find the list on the IRS website at irs.gov. And if you answered yes to the second question, changes in tax laws mean you can't write off that home office anymore. Best to get the advice of a tax prep pro. Daria Albinger, ABC News.
Money at 20 and 50 past the hour. We have a new problem northbound I-5 into Seattle. Marina has the latest on that and all of your commute issues just ahead. Como News time, 4:21.
Como News. Join the Como News Listener Club.
This week, win a pair of tickets to the Washington State Spring Fair, April 11th through 14th. Just go to comonews.com, highlight radio, and click on radio contests.
This is Como News.